How you doing?
All right.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm Paul Rozeski, and thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin property taxpayers. Before we get started, this week's episode is sponsored by Eminent Domain Services, a law firm dedicated to defending Wisconsin property owners who are involved in eminent domain and other property rights issues. They've had cases involving transmission lines, roadway projects, and pipelines, all the way to property tax and special assessment appeals. They are experts in fighting for Wisconsin property owners. Contact WPT for a referral as a benefit of membership or visit them at WisconsinImmanentDomain.com. Hey there. Glad you're here. Good to be back after a week's hiatus. Let's get things started by getting you set up for the week. Typically, I don't do a history segment, but I thought this was pretty timely. 55 years ago this week, in 1970, President Richard Nixon signed the Public Health Cigarette Smoking Act. It banned cigarette commercials from TV and radio, because after World War II, cigarette ads really amped up, so eventually the FCC started requiring broadcasters to have one anti-smoking public service announcement for every three cigarette commercials in 1967. That started. Then, in 69, bills would start being proposed to ban cigarette commercials altogether from radio and television. Seems like history might eventually repeat itself with pharmaceutical companies and their products, because getting that under control seems to be a pretty bipartisan concern. As far as setting you up for the rest of the week, I encourage you to go to your web search engine of choice and search up Wisconsin events this weekend. It'll bring up the Travel Wisconsin website, and they really do a pretty awesome job of having a big list of random things to do. Everything from Milwaukee to Amory and a whole bunch of points in between. This week, also, we have another round of presidential trivia. Our quote of the week is coming from another U.S. president, this time POTUS number two. He's nicknamed Old Oak. And it's on a very timely topic, the judiciary, which is a great segue for us to jump into some news together. Yesterday was Election Day, and you probably know that Susan Crawford, Jill Underly, and the voter ID referendum were winners yesterday. What you may not have known is that there were 81 school districts that proposed a total of 89 school referendums, and I am here to give you the results for both sides of the aisle. If you are frustrated with school referendums, there is good news, because 38 referendums failed and another 29 only passed by single-digit margins. That's a whopping 67%, which means that there is a fair amount of referendum fatigue out there. If you're not frustrated with the school referendums, 51 out of 89 passed, which means school referendums are still passing at an almost 60% rate. In reality, 100% of people want our schools to succeed. That's what I see from these numbers. It's just a matter of differing opinions on what's the missing element to make that happen. And since it seems like there's only one concrete solution that keeps being offered, it's the solution that people keep taking. In other related news, how about this for irony? The first place I went for the results on the referendum was the Department of Public Instruction website, where they have a spring referendum 2025 spreadsheet that lists every school district, the date the referendum is voted on, whether it's non-recurring, how much the dollar amount is, and whether or not it's passed or failed, or what the votes count were. Well, when I looked as of early Wednesday afternoon, a majority of them didn't have the result and just said before vote day, which is probably what they all had listed for them because it was a spreadsheet that was made before election day. Well, now we're the day after the election, and most of them don't have the results. However, I can go to the news outlets, and they all have the results for every single one, and it's specific information. What it tells me is that we have bureaucracy. DPI can only work with the information that they're given, and they rely on the school districts to provide it. And quite frankly, I think some of it boils down to the fact that some of these school districts and organizations are run better than others. I'm willing to bet that the Burlington School District, the Rhinelander School District, and the Whitewater School District are more robustly staffed than the Butternut School District, yet they haven't gotten around to reporting their results on their 20 or 13 or $30 million referendums. But the Butternut School District can get around to letting us all know whether or not their $4 million referendum passed or not. Maybe it's unfair. Maybe some of the results aren't officially certified yet, but I think it's also a fitting analogy. It's like DPI is a classroom full of students. Some of the students will be better organized than others, and some will have a higher standard of getting their work in right away, and it boils down to the leadership there. I wonder what it says about the leadership of DPI. In other news, a nationwide study was done to see how much money is needed to live comfortably in the 50 largest states in the United States. And to be financially stable in the city of Milwaukee requires a household income of over $134,000, thanks to the cost of their homes, the increased sales taxes that they have, the high property taxes, the years upon years of massive referendums that keep getting passed, and it is official, Milwaukee is disconnected from the reality of the rest of Wisconsin. We could probably throw Madison on that pile too. The frustrating thing is Wisconsin will be headed down that same path if we don't make some changes. And in other news, talking about making changes, today was the first day of public hearings held by the Finance Committee on the development of the current state budget. Hours upon hours of people advocating for everything from road repairs to conservation projects to property tax cuts to Medicaid expansion, free school meals, and the list could go on and on. And really, I do not envy what that committee has to do, because all of these, or lots of these, are worthy causes. However, they also have to weigh the information from the accountants. And based on a report that just came out within the past week or two, there are record-breaking increases in spending in the governor's budget, to the point where we've gone from years and years of surpluses to immediate deficits, where if we go along with that plan, we'll have deficits of $2 billion, $4.5 billion, and $6.5 billion in short order. We are clearly not at the point where the majority of people are saying uncle and demanding that our government be held to a higher standard. Sounds like DPI all over again. And in other news, although I know we're going longer than normal, I can't go another week without opening the You Can't Make This Stuff Up file, and I will give you a detail from the gift that keeps on giving to this file, the Federal Department of Government Efficiency. This tidbit comes from the Small Business Administration. every small business owner's favorite department over the past couple of years because they were the ones that were given the mandate to throw around loans like they were Tootsie Rolls at a local parade. Well, it turns out that $330 million worth of SBA loans were granted to applicants under the age of 11 years old. Supposedly, the youngest recipient was a 9-month-old who, in spite of their short credit history, received a $100,000 federal loan. You just can't make that stuff up. And finally, today's trivia answer, I leave you with a quote from the second president of the United States, John Adams, who said, "The dignity and stability of government in all its branches depend so much upon an upright and skillful administration of justice that the judicial power ought to be distinct from both the legislative and executive and independent of both," unquote. Well, they may be independent of the legislative and executive, but they are definitely not independent of politics. That ship has definitely sailed, since judges are either appointed by politicians or they're elected, which makes them have to play the game of money and politics. But it's worth reminding everyone what it was supposed to be like and how far down the wrong path we have come. In spite of that, have a great second half of your weekend. As always, thanks for listening. The Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every fish fry loving corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.